Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Line. Speaking of On the Line, I'm here with the founders of On.
That was a great intro.
Thanks. That was an amazing intro. I didn't plan that. That was pretty good. Before we get into this episode, I just want to let you know that you can get a free box of On products using the code ESTAYVIP. They just told me about this. I'm very excited about it, so I wanted to put it at the beginning of the episode because I would love you all to go and try these products. They're amazing, and the branding is super cute. But just so you know, it's UK only. So firstly, who are you guys, and why are you on the show today?
So my name is Nikki, and I'm one of the founders of On.
I'm Leah.
And On is an organic tampon subscription service, and we launched about a year ago.
Right. And okay, a subscription service. So how does this... Wait. Well, let me just back up. Why? Why did you start this?
Okay, so... Right back at the beginning. So let's rewind to 2016, end of 2016. Nikki and I, actually, let's go even further back. So Nikki and I met at uni on our very first day of, we were at Sussex Uni. We got put in the rooms next door to each other.
Someone's great decision. Yeah.
And then just, I think that evening we were dancing on tables and just bonded instantly. So then fast forward like 6.5 years, we were, 2016, end of 2016. And there's us over a glass of wine. Having a catch up, Nikki starts a period, or I think you were like,
I'm prepared,
but my period's going to come. I think it's going to come. Went upstairs into my house, and not my proudest moment, I'd bought some pads, mainstream pads that were covered in purple hearts. And I'll let you take over.
I basically just went upstairs, like rummaging through all of her things, as you do when you're unprepared, just like take anything you can find, opened up this pad, and I was like sat on the toilet, and I just noticed for the first time, like, why does this look like this?
Okay.
And yeah. I just got so angry.
Yeah.
Maybe partly the wine, maybe partly the situation.
Wine does sometimes bring up anger, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Definitely does.
Anyway.
So I just ran down the stairs and I was like, Leah, what is the deal with this? Like, why do the products that we buy look like this? Like, yeah. I'm 26 years old. Like, everything else I buy really reflects my sort of personal taste, brands I like, you know, everything like that. And these pads were just covered in like... fluorescent colors and then purple hearts on the actual pad.
So we started talking a lot about how, or kind of what we felt when we had a period. So the fact that we were putting tampons up our sleeve every time we were walking to a restaurant. And for me, I don't know why, it's a personal thing. I cannot get a non-applicator tampon in. Like, it just does not go in. Like, Nikki, like, it's a total observer. I cannot get a non-applicator tampon.
Right. I mean, I remember the very first time I used a tampon, it was a non-applicator tampon. And I was on a school trip and my friends were like, it's easy, just shove it up there. And like, when you're that age, you don't even know what that even
what
means.
What does shove it up there even mean? Where does it go?
Which direction? Yeah. And I remember just thinking, like, I'm so confused. And it was kind of painful, actually, weirdly, the first time.
Okay, I'm going to just put this out there. I still find a non-applicator painful.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It might be, like, the angle that my vagina slants backwards, but I cannot get it up.
I'm just convinced you don't put it high enough up.
I've tried everything.
We have this conversation quite often.
Well, can we just talk about non-applicator tampons since we're on the subject? Do you literally just put your fingers right up there?
You literally just like kind of hold it with the tips of your fingers and you kind of have to give it like a little bit of shove, but you can feel it kind of push through that boundary.
Yeah.
Like up through, and then it's comfortable. Obviously, if you get it stuck just in that middle bit, it's not going to feel very comfortable.
Exactly.
I definitely did that the first time. I think we had a sports day and I really wanted to use a tampon. Got it kind of stuck halfway up. And oh my God, the whole day I was just looking around like, this is not what it's supposed to be like.
Yeah. But so going back, so I was always using applicator tampons because I can't use a non-app. And standard, I have a heavy period, so I'd have a super or super plus. And for some reason, these are like fluorescent green and wrapped in plastic. And so I'd always be walking through a restaurant, feeling like a woman, but looking like I'm holding a sweet and feeling a bit like a child. And it was that kind of the almost creating the sensation or the kind of a shame. What am I trying to say? Like,
There's definitely a shame angle around it.
Yeah, but it was like perpetuating this feeling of shame. And I think that for us was something that we highlighted. And we're like, actually, we're 21st century women, but we feel like a child every time we bleed, which happens once a month to a lot of us.
Yeah.
And how can we change that? So going right back to the story of how we first started, that was the initial part. And we went, let's try and create a brand that women and other people that bleed can be really, really proud of using. Right. And can walk through a restaurant and like wave their tampon around because they're like, hey, fuck it. Am I allowed to swear? I'm not sure. But being like, hey, I'm bleeding and I'm really proud of it. And then we were looking into how we would do it.
Yeah.
And the realization came really quickly that there's more disclosure regulations on hamster food than there is on tampons.
Stop it.
It's awful. Yeah. So in a mainstream tampon, but no one knows it. And this is no one's fault because the disclosure regulations aren't there. So mainstream tampons are kind of synthetics. They've got rayon, polyester, viscose in them. Bleached cotton, that leaves a byproduct of dioxin. You've got plastics in the tampon themselves. You've got the glues for the strings. There's kind of, and the herbicides, pesticides, I think the list is endless. And different companies using different things.
I mean, I have heard a lot about this and I honestly never really thought about it until quite recently, where the discussion around periods is, you know, a lot more, you know, prevalent and stuff. So then I was like, why am I putting all that stuff up my vagina? I don't want that.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting as well when you think about, there's like a complete lack of studies on the effect of using these mainstream tampons. But what we always say is like, if you're going to be using a product that intimately in the most absorbent part of your body, sort of for 7 days a month, every month for your entire life, it's like up to 16,000 tampons over the course of your lifetime.
No way.
Like, that even if it's small trace elements of all of these things, it's going to have an impact on your body just in the same way that like eating organic food or using organic like skincare is going to have.
And it's a lot of the mainstream companies say, well, it's okay. Kind of dioxin is one that is highlighted a lot. And they say, well, dioxin, it's fine because it's just a trace element. And our counter argument would be, hey, this is a trace element, but you're using it for, as you said, kind of up to 8 hours a time during your period, so up to 16,000 during the course of your life. And that trace element very quickly adds up.
Right. Well, what can some of the side effects be if you just keep using these things?
Well, obviously in the long term, there's like, can imbalance your hormones, like dioxin is like one of those cancer-causing chemicals. I mean, the long-term effects are quite prevalent, but they're also really under-researched. In the short term, we've had customers come back to us and say, I used to have thrush every month when I had my period, but now swapping to organic, I don't have that anymore. Same with BV. So all of these sort of like more common things that people would have that they just think is normal, when they swap off mainstream tampons, they realize, okay, that wasn't normal actually. Mm.
We had it with our very first hire, and she came and started working with us and switched to organic. And she'd never thought of organic tampons before. She switched to organic, and within what, like 3 months, she came back to us and just went, I thought my period was normal. I thought the feelings I had on my period were normal, and that, she was sore, kind of dryness, thrush frequently, and she thought it was normal during her period. And I mean, you would, because kind of that's the products that you've grown up with, that's what you're used to. Yeah. And there's no reason to believe otherwise. And then switching to organic, and there are kind of lots of amazing organic brands out there, but switching to organic cotton, she realized that actually it was the chemicals and the synthetics were affecting her.
Okay, personal anecdote here. I grew up, well, I mostly always used pads. And I know you guys don't do pads, right? Can we talk about pads?
Coming soon.
Coming soon.
coming soon.
Okay, coming soon. So I mostly did that. And then I, you know, wasn't really into it anymore. And I started using tampons. And exactly what you were just saying, all these other random symptoms kept coming up. And I didn't even think it was because of the tampons I was using. I was at the GP like every single month. And I was like, what is going on here? For some reason, I just didn't even put it together that that could be that.
But I think it's also we don't talk about it. So like the idea that there would be anything but just cotton in your tampon is not a topic of conversation that comes up often because we don't talk about periods in terms of their symptoms, how they make us feel, what products we're using. We just use what we're used to. And get on with it.
And that comes back, I think, to like the shame and stigma that there is around periods and menstruation. Like, we talk, my boyfriend knows so much about periods, it's ridiculous. I feel sorry for him sometimes. But we talk so openly all the time. And I think that was one of the things that we've always done. And in our friendship group, we've always been very open about any symptoms that are going on, everything that happens with our vaginas or anything else when we don't only talk about vaginas.
Mostly.
But I think stepping out of our friendship group, especially when we started on, we realized that the conversation was still so taboo. I mean, we had to do a first round of investment, and that was in 2017, and that was tough. There were kind of men that would literally wouldn't touch a tampon,
literally physically wouldn't touch it
because they were like, no, that's like horrible, and understand different cultural things, but these guys, like, yeah, just would not touch a tampon.
Like going for a pitch meeting and the investor won't even like pick up the product that you're trying to pitch him. I mean, we were just sat there like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Yeah. Okay, so you guys, you're researching hamster food.
Yeah.
And you're drinking in university and having a great time and you're best friends. So then how do you decide to turn this into an actual business? And were there any brands like this out at the time?
There were a couple of brands. There's some in the States.
Yeah.
So there's some bigger ones, kind of Lola, Sustain are in the States. Mm-hmm. And then in the UK, there were a handful of really small ones at the time. What we felt that these companies were all missing was that they were following a very kind of mainstream path of advertising tampons as if every time you get a period, you're going to dance around in a meadow wearing a white fitted skirt and very pink and very girly. And we were like, this doesn't represent all women and all people that bleed. And we want to be bold and we want to be feisty. And if we're going to talk about periods, we're not going to say, I'm trying to think of names and words without saying brands.
Yeah.
But we're not basically going to say it's Aunt Flo's coming or
right.
Yeah, so, you know, we're going to speak really proudly and we're going to say actually we're bleeding, like this is our period, and we're going to destigmatize the word period.
And all the imagery around periods at the time when we were launching was still like, okay, you got a period brand, but there's nothing actually about periods on the Instagram feed or on the website.
Right.
You know, it's like pug dogs, MacBook Pros, and like white bed sheets and a coffee cup. And we were like, this doesn't match. Like, I don't feel like I connect to this brand.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's where we like started with like, okay, how can we kind of swap things around?
But it started really on a frustration of realizing that people that bleed couldn't find out what was in the tampons that they're using inside them. And that was, I think, although we loved the idea when we're talking about brand and how could we do something different, it was really when we realized that people didn't have the information that they deserved to have.
Right.
And that was the point for us that we went, now we're going to change this and we're going to do something about it. So it wasn't until April 2017 that we kind of quit our jobs and went full time. I was doing brand consultancy and bits of business stuff before, and next year we're kind of doing international women's rights.
Yeah, so we came from quite different backgrounds, but then I think once we started working, it was like we couldn't stop.
Yeah,
I think it was almost like an accident. It was like 3 months later,
yeah,
we were like, okay, I'm pretty much spending all of my free time on this. We need to do something about this if we're actually going to do it properly.
Did you always think it was going to be a success? Like, were there moments where you were like, this is never going to work?
Still, yeah. Like, it's so up and down. And I think that's something that people don't talk about enough when they talk about starting their own business or sort of female founders and this new trend towards women starting businesses. I think there's, like, this quietness around people speaking out about how difficult it can be and how much you need to depend on your friends and family for support or mentors or just outside influences to like really get that knowledge that you need to keep going every time, because you're going to face a lot of hurdles.
It's almost like you look at a lot of other founders and it looks like you're looking at this idyllic Facebook page or Instagram feed, and where people aren't talking about the really, really shit times too. And there are them, there's so much of them. But like, and you can pull through them, there's always a way to pull through them, but it is hard. And it does take a lot of perseverance and passion.
Exactly. Like that's the one thing, is if you don't have that, every time you hit a block, you're going to be like, is this worth it?
Yeah. I think that's so true, because I meet a lot of founders of companies, because I'm just personally so interested in starting businesses. That's just like so fascinating to me, that somebody can be so passionate about something that they want to dedicate their entire life to it. Like, that this is obviously your entire life. So I find that fascinating. And everyone says to me, you know, either on a podcast or just in over dinner, that they had and still have no idea what they're doing. And I don't know if that's true, but it's like, you know what you're doing, but you really don't. Because it's like every single day it's something new and you're like, well, I don't know. Let's deal with this. Yeah. Is that what having a business is all about? Just like dealing with things constantly?
Absolutely. Yes. And learning fast.
Learning so fast.
Yeah.
I think what's really interesting as well, like I find myself really lucky to have Leah, because our kind of skill sets and when we get stressed is really different. So I get stressed out about the long term. So I can have like a panic attack being like, oh my gosh, Leah, like, you know, what we want to build. And in 6 months to 12 months time, like, what's going to happen with this? Leah's like, relax. It's all going to be fine. Like, we can do this.
Relax.
Yeah. And then she gets really stressed out about like the tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so then I'm like, we can handle that. That's no big deal.
Yeah. I'll walk into a meeting like palm sweating. And Nix is like, what's wrong with you? We're fine.
Well, it's great that you have each other.
Yeah.
I think really it's very important to have a partner that, or at least somebody you can really talk to about stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a call-in show and I have our very first question. Thank you for discussing a topic that affects 50% of the people in this world. I hate my period with a passion. Ever since I got it, I can't get used to it. I'm not a woman that embraces it, and I don't feel like it makes me look womanly or feel womanly. I absolutely hate it. I feel like I'm not clean. I would prefer to use tampons, but I always just use pads. Basically, the question is, how can I kind of get to a point where I can accept my period? I think this kind of goes back to the shame element of it. I actually just like had a flashback of me watching, I guess it was probably like an Always commercial with my mom. And it's like the blue liquid and like the pads. And honestly, just being so embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
How do you become somebody who's like proud to have a period?
I think it's a great question. I think that also the way that this person's feeling is really common. And you're right. It goes back to the way that for centuries we've been sold period products. And this taboo around it.
What we're really, really passionate about is not telling anyone how they have to feel about their period, because every single person will experience it differently. And you might experience it differently from month to month. And like, I do really understand like just not feeling happy with having a period every month. And you shouldn't feel ashamed that you don't embrace it every month.
Like, that's a good point.
That's okay too. And maybe it's more about learning how to cope in that month. So be like, you know what, when my period comes, that means I'm more tired. That means I need to take a little bit of time out for myself. Like, I don't need to go around feeling super confident and super excited that I have my period. I can just be like, okay, like, it's a bit of downtime for me in these five days.
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
Yeah. Although it kind of, for just adding on to that, if this person does want to feel positive about their period, I think the small steps are kind of actually starting talking about it. And even if it's you're telling your best friend or your mom or even your kind of boyfriend, husband, girlfriend, whoever you're talking to, maybe just start mentioning your period and start mentioning how you're feeling and what you're experiencing, and kind of slowly but surely I think you'll move in a position where you, well, move in the direction that you feel more comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of one of those things, especially, oh god, I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm a single gal, you know, always dating and stuff like that, and it's so fascinating how like when you're dating, you just like, you're, if you get, if you're on your period, you just like don't even want to mention it. It's literally like, oh, I'm really busy working this week, so can't really meet up, but actually I'm just like dying a slow death with my hot water bottle. But it's so true. It's like, why are we pretending it's not happening? It's very strange.
It's very strange. But also people's bodies can be so different too, right? Like if you are single and dating and you're about to come on your period and you're super bloated and your water retention is really high, you're not going to want to go out in the same outfit that you would have gone out in 2 weeks ago and feel that like confidence that you have around a different part of your cycle. It's like,
So all of these like symptoms and stuff, they're actually real, because sometimes I feel like it's all in my head. I'm like, I feel like 3 million sizes bigger than I actually am. Mm-hmm. I feel tired. I have like weird anxiety. My back hurts. Like just stress levels are high. And there's always something in the back of my mind that's just like, just deal with it, get on with it, get through it. I feel like that's something so many women deal with. It's like, well, it's just another day and I have this and I also need to like be smiley and be happy and da 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 da. So they're real, those
It's
symptoms.
Real. It's definitely real. Like whatever you're experiencing, it's real.
Right.
And I think if you do feel really, really intense symptoms, it's maybe something to look at, like tracking your period.
Right.
I know that for me, I've had my period's been like so out of sync the last couple of years. Like I think I went for a year without having one.
Wow.
So when it came back, I was like, okay, I need to understand this part of my body more. And it was around the same time we started on. So I was just super fascinated about like how my hormones were changing, how my skin would be at different parts of my cycle.
Mm.
And I started to actually look at where my cycle was. And it made so much sense, like once I started to notice the patterns.
It's always so funny when it's like the week before your period and you are just feeling some type of way. And it doesn't usually like hit you until you actually get your period and you're like, okay. And it's every month.
So my boyfriend tracks my period. Like genuinely tracks my period, because I think it got to the point that one time we were on a holiday in Vietnam and it was like 2 days before we were about to come back home. And honestly, I was maybe a couple of beers in. And we had I don't even remember what happened. It was nothing big. He took the piss out of something I said. I burst into tears. I'm like, I'm getting my passport. I'm going home. I'm crying my eyes out.
This is so like, something I would do.
In the monsoon, rainy season in Vietnam. And it's like pouring with rain. And I'm like, I'm getting my passport. I'm going to the hotel. It's tears flowing down my face. I'm going home. So, yeah. And this happens like without fail. I mean, it's not always quite so dramatic, but without fail, like 2 days before my period.
And what? He's like, honey, you know what time of the month it is, that would kill me.
He has to be really careful now.
It's with like the wording, right?
He's like, your experiences are totally valid, but do you think maybe it's like a certain time?
Oh,
and I'm like,
God.
Screw you.
But yes. So it can really make somebody like, you know, be more quick to like get into a fight, you think? Like these hormones?
Leah goes absolutely psycho. So I would say 100% yes.
But it's different for every person.
Yeah.
But yeah, your PMS kind of, you're typically a bit more feisty.
Does that have a lot to do with what pill you're on, if you're on the pill or anything like that? Or can that be changed? Because I need to get a grip here.
I think if you're taking sort of hormonal contraception, that will affect how your natural hormones are working. So it'll definitely be different whether you're on contraception or not.
Yeah.
And what contraception will also affect it. So obviously different pills are going to have different combinations of estrogen and progesterone. So it's a bit of a minefield. So it's definitely worth speaking to someone if you do find that your PMS symptoms are super, super intense, because it might be that like your diet's not supporting your hormones, or you've got some imbalances, or you just maybe want to look at trying some hormonal contraception if that's what you're interested in.
Mm-hmm. I heard that while you're PMSing or on your period or whatever, you shouldn't eat as much sugar, even though it's exactly what you want, because it can really like make the symptoms much worse.
Yeah, and also when you're feeling cramps, all you want is like, grab me that chocolate or that cake. I want it, all the carbs and all the sugar. It's really bad for cramps because of the inflammation.
Oh, right.
Mm. But we would suggest dark chocolate. Actually, is really good because it's got high levels of magnesium, which is a natural sort of muscle relaxant.
Okay.
So if you're going to eat sugar, just make sure it's like the sort of high,
fine,
good chocolate stuff.
So speaking of things that can help with cramps and things like that, let's talk about CBD oil.
Yes.
Our favorite topic.
Yeah, mine too.
So before we launched CBD, it was a conversation that we were having for probably a good 8 months or so.
Yeah.
And Nikki wasn't sold on it at all.
Mm-hmm. Leah comes to me quite often with these like new things that she's like, oh, this is the best new product. And I'm always like, okay, well, what does it do? Like, is it really going to work?
Yeah.
Now I'm pretty much obsessed with CBD.
Yeah. So we met our partner CBD company here, Grace's London, in May last year.
It's made in London?
It's made in London.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's all made in London. So we met them in May last year, and at this point I was already really interested in CBD. We basically started trying out her products to start with.
Yeah.
And started using it kind of, I know we shouldn't have done it because the formula wasn't made properly to go internally, but I was using it on tampons to try and soothe period pains.
You were soaking the tampon in CBD?
Yeah, so I was like dripping, using the CBD oil is dripping it onto the tampon and then using it internally. I mean, I shouldn't have been at all because the formula wasn't made to be used internally.
Right.
At this point,
I think it was really interesting because when we first met Shona, who's the founder of Graces London, she was saying that, you know, all the feedback that she gets from her customers using her roll-ons was that they would actually use it during their period and find that it really, really helped with their cramps. And that's when she was like, I really want to see if I can find a brand to do a collaboration, to do a period product. Mm. And then Leah and I started testing out her products for about 6 months and found that it really, really helped. I get really bad cramps every second month, but to the point where I'm like writhing in pain in bed, can't do anything for about 2 hours, like sweating from my upper lip. It's absolutely awful.
Wow, that's intense.
And trying the CBD, it was like, it didn't completely take away the pain because that pain is so high for me, but it completely relaxed my body so that I could actually manage it, which I think is just such a big thing that we don't talk about, is how to manage that pain, because obviously the pain that some women will experience over their periods can be really, really horrible, especially if you have endometriosis or something.
Yeah. Right. Well, for me, I wasn't taking, when I had an accident, it's a long story, so we won't go into it, but when I was 15, I had an accident to paracetamol overdose. So ever since then, haven't taken paracetamol ibuprofen. And for me, so having period cramps, you're like, I'm screwed. There is nothing out there that I could actually use until I found the CBD. And now it's kind of, I remember we were at a conference once and the Graces formula smells a little bit like weed. It just has that kind of marijuana smell. And we were at a conference and it was very kind of like a lot of white middle-aged men in suits, and I was like, my period is bad, and I had a CBD roller on me, and I went and it just rubbed it all over my tummy, all over my lower back, and just came in like,
there was definitely a smell.
Yeah. They must have think like I popped out for a spliff.
What's a spliff? I've never heard of marijuana before. Back pain, that is so major to me. That's what I get, and it's literally like all over my back. I don't understand how that happens. It has nothing to do with your back. Does it?
Well, it's kind of the pressure, and it's your muscles contracting around your uterus, and then it's obviously so close, then you also will sort of tighten your back to kind of protect that lower area when it is cramping. Oh. It's kind of a lot of pressure going on down there.
So the CBD oil works. Basically, in your body, you've got an endocannabinoid system. The marijuana plant has got endocannabinoids in it. CBD is cannabinoid.
Yes.
So this is, it's like loads of annoying language. So forgetting past that, it's basically extracted from the marijuana plant. Ours is a full spectrum CBD, so it's the entire plant, not just the hemp. Mm-hmm. And then the endocannabinoid system is basically responsible for so many different things within your body. So it could be anxiety, hormone balances. Nikki, kind of obviously affected your skin a lot, as well as pain. And so it's in the pain that kind of we're using it for. So how it works is it basically relieves the cramps. So the endocannabinoids links to the endocannabinoid system and relieves the cramps and the pain, or relieves the pain, reduces the pain. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Yeah.
And are you supposed to put it on the tampon?
So ours is a topical one. So you can use it kind of, lower back, lower stomach. Some people are using it on their
temples.
Thank you. People are using it on the temples. I personally use it on my tampon. The formula is made so that it's not going to give you a negative effect, but it's very much at everyone's own. It is a topical one, so it's completely at the
risk
user's
of the user.
Risk to use it internally.
And you can eat it.
One you can't.
Cannot eat yours.
But that's on the cards.
Right. Eat yours. I did. I literally, I got it in the mail and I was like, CBD, let me just pour a little of this down my throat. I love CBD.
Did it taste good?
No, but I mean, I don't care. I think I put it in either a smoothie or a soup or something like that. But I love CBD. But it's the thing with CBD is it's such a low percentage. But is yours effective? Like, obviously, you're going to say it's effective, but it is a low percentage. Like, that's what's legal here, right?
Yeah, you can have a higher one. So it's very much in the way that the CBD is extracted and then processed. So R1 is a 1%, but our manufacturer or our partner, Graces, is convinced that it has the effects of 10%. And even I had Sunday I had someone that came to me and said that he'd been using the CBD oil, so he'd been using it kind of various bits and bobs, but he'd been using it he was typically used to using like a 30%, and right. He was paying like a lot of money for a 30%. He turned around and was like, yours is so reasonable and it works so well.
Right.
We absolutely swear by it now, personally.
I think it's really also important to obviously talk about the fact that CBD is becoming really, really popular right now. And there are a lot of brands launching CBD products, a lot of like food companies trying to put it into their like
CBD edibles are my favorite thing on planet Earth.
Yeah.
I feel like my audience is going to be like, who is this girl?
I'm the same as you, 100%.
But it's like, it's so relaxing. And it literally is like, you obviously don't have any sort of high from it, but your body just feels so relaxed and your mind. But like in a nice way. You're not stoned. So it's like, you can still kind of do your thing. But like a CBD edible and a Netflix, yes.
Perfect combination.
CBD and chill.
But that's why it's so important to like look at who's supplying the CBD that you're like buying. Because because there are so many brands launching, there's going to be a huge difference in quality.
Yes.
And that's where like knowing if it's full spectrum or not, like what percentage it is, where it's extracted, all of those things are super important. So just like for people to make sure that they're checking that.
Okay, so, you decided to make some tampons that didn't have any of this stuff in it. What's the next step? Where do you even go to do this sort of thing?
So, we've had a lot of big steps. So, I mean, initially, the branding was really, really important for us. Obviously, finding the manufacturers, that was a real hustle. We wanted everything to be GOT certified and Soil Association certified. So that means that we could say that the tampons are 100% organic rather than going out and saying, hey, they're organic, but actually that might mean that there's only 1% organic in them.
Yeah.
Our tampons are 100% certified organic. So that was hard because there were manufacturers that we had to hustle so hard to try and convince them to take us too seriously and also do a kind of tiny minimum order quantities because we just didn't have any budget.
Taking ourselves and our business plan to the factories and being like, hey, we're here. Can we have a meeting? Like, will you take what we're doing seriously? And that really worked.
But yeah.
I mean, it took like going that far.
Yeah.
So then you get your products back and you package everything up yourself? Or like, how does this, this is the part that fascinates me. And then you've got your Instagram going, or how do you get the word out there?
So we launched the Instagram before we launched the products.
Yeah,
only just before. Like 2 months before. Yeah. Obviously had done all of our branding, ordered the packaging, set up a little office. And for the first couple of months, Leah and I were packing the boxes. Mm-hmm. And then we were lucky enough that we could get someone in to help us so that we could start doing other things like marketing and fundraising and all of the other good stuff.
I remember our first day, the packing boxes, we had more orders than we anticipated, a lot more orders than we anticipated. We thought, okay, we're going to launch, maybe we might get 5 orders. I think we had maybe about 50 orders that first day.
Wow.
And which was amazing, super, super exciting. And the support when we were going, oh God, well, how are we going to cope with this? What's going to happen? But I remember we packaged up the boxes all ourselves and we ran to the post office because we genuinely were like, it just took so much longer than we anticipated. Yeah. Us running, I'm not even sure to convince you had shoes on at this point.
I don't think I did.
Running out the door to get to the post office in time. That was an amazing day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was lots of fun.
What would you say to other women out there who are considering starting up a company?
Ooh, so much.
There's so much. My number one tip is kind of fail fast and learn from it. So make those mistakes early on. I think unless you're making mistakes, the likelihood is that you're not kind of pushing yourself. So kind of make the mistakes, fail hard, fail fast and learn from it, and then kind of pivot and move on and never let failures get you down. Kind of they are what you learn from.
Right.
Yeah.
I would just add that to like make sure that you have a good support system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think when you go into starting your own business, like especially if you're not in a network where your friends are doing similar things and maybe your friends are all working sort of more corporate jobs and that stability, it can get really overwhelming.
Yeah.
So make sure that if you're going to do it, like go to some events, try and meet some other female founders, try and make sure that you have other people that you can talk to about the things that are going on in your life that they'll understand.
Yeah. It's also so hard when you don't have structure. Like you wake up in the morning and you're like, you know, I guess I should do some stuff.
Yeah.
You obviously want to be doing this stuff, but it can be really, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing nothing, but I'm always doing a lot of things. But you know what I'm saying? It's like 100%. Every days go by and you're like, what is happening? So I think sometimes it's really important to like take note of what you've already accomplished.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Our entire team, although we're still a tiny team, our entire team is remote. So we don't have kind of a set office yet, which has its amazing benefits, but also it's quite hard. But it means that we are all on kind of Skype calls all the time with places all over the world. I mean, our tech team is in Australia, our writer, content creators in Madrid. We've got a CFO who's in Portugal, designer in Indonesia. We are literally all over the place.
Wow.
Which, it's amazing. It keeps things super fresh, but it is tough when you don't have that kind of that base that you are kind of doing a 9-to-5.
Okay, so switching pace a little bit, I want to talk about plastic-free periods. It's just really interesting that people are kind of starting to take note about single-use plastics, but especially in regards to tampons, because, I mean, you said the number of tampons we're using.
Yeah.
Think of how much plastic that is.
Yeah.
And you guys use cardboard on your applicators. Yeah, exactly. That was a conscious choice, I assume.
Yes, because you look at a mainstream tampon made of plastic, like that doesn't biodegrade for over 570 years or something.
What?
Yeah, so that's a lot of plastic pollution just for a single person. And obviously, I think a big thing is like you never want to shame people for their choice of period products.
Right.
And we're really, really big on that because obviously everyone has different like socioeconomic conditions under which they buy their products and different personal preferences with comfort, which is why we wanted to launch the non-applicator and the cardboard. So we could give people sort of an easy option to make that swap if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Because, some people just like the comfort of having an applicator and that's okay.
Yeah. I really do think it's something that people don't even think about. It's like plastic and that's just what it is.
Yeah.
Even the mainstream tampons have got plastic in the actual tampon themselves. And that's something that you would never, ever, ever assume that you're actually putting plastic inside you. And pads as well, there's the equivalent of 4 plastic bags in every pad.
No.
And it's something that obviously people don't know. You kind of assume it's a nice piece of fabric or cotton or similar. You would never know it because there are no disclosure regulations. And it's for us, that is the most frustrating thing, that there's people that are trying their hardest to be kind of really, really environmentally friendly, but aren't given the information that, that they actually deserve.
So what's going to be in your pad then?
So they are 100% organic top and cornstarch on the bottom, wrapped
cornstarch.
In cornstarch. Yeah, and totally biodegradable.
How? When I think of cornstarch, I think of my grandma like adding cornstarch to like gravy. This is a very strange memory, but she's like, "This is how I'm making the gravy. I'm adding cornstarch." We're all like, "Ugh."
So have you seen the Co-op do their new bags?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's similar material to that. Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool. And can we talk about the period tax?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can we just talk about it?
I mean, it's a serious anger point of ours.
Yeah. I bet. I can see it in your eyes.
Luxury as fuck.
Yeah.
it's ridiculous. Ostrich meat isn't luxury, isn't taxed. Helicopter rides aren't taxed.
Ostrich meat
isn't taxed. And we're like, what?
That's literally like the most luxurious meat you could probably buy.
It's really funny.
Absolutely mad. Yeah. So we absorb all the tax for all of our customers because we just think it's absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Obviously no one knows what's going to happen right now, but fingers crossed soon. Soon the government will scrap it. Mm. I think there's enough people talking about it, enough people making noise about it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we actually have a question about menstrual cups. So let's play.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
That.
Hi, Estee. I'm 21 and I'm from Canada. I'm not from Waterloo, your hometown, but I'm from Mississauga, so you probably know where that is, just outside Toronto, very suburby. I think it's really great that you're covering periods this week. I think it's a topic that should be so commonplace in conversations with women, men, whoever, and I'm really glad that you're tackling it. So I don't know about you, but when I meet a woman or a menstruator who says they use a diva cup, I'm just like, you're on a next level of like menstruation. Like, how do I get to your level? I think it's amazing. And I know they're environmentally friendly to an extent. And I know that they're just better than tampons, but I don't know. I've just never taken the plunge. And I guess my question is, have you ever tried the diva cup? And what do you guys think about it? Do you think it's a good way to be environmentally friendly? Let me know about it. Thanks.
What do you guys think about them? Because I was watching the Amy Schumer stand-up comedy and she was mentioning it and how she, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's, I think it's super funny. And she was talking about how when you have to like take it out and then just like, anyway, she made a joke about Kill Bill and it was really funny. I can't recreate. But I cannot fuck with them. But I want to, but I can't.
I've tried to use one. I have really, really tried. But I mean, it's similar to not being able to get a non-app.
Oh yeah, you'll never be able to do it.
No chance. Give up. And I think for us, we wanted to offer something that was a kind of an alternative for people that were trying to be environmentally friendly.
Right.
We are full supporters of anyone that uses a moon cup.
Yes.
Or a menstrual cup. Absolutely. I mean, it's super sustainable, really affordable, but not for everyone.
Right.
I think I have this memory of one of me and Leah's friends like going down to the bathroom and we were walking through the corridor and we just see her like stark naked, crouched in the bathroom, trying to get her moon cup out because she obviously doesn't want to get the blood on anything. So she's like taking off all of her clothes and she's trying to get the moon cup out and she gets it out and then just like splatters blood all over the floor of the bathroom.
She squeezed it too hard and yeah. Blood just went everywhere. And she's there like naked, squat on the floor with blood everywhere. And we're like, oh God, do you want a tampon, babe?
But so many people really do swear by them. And in theory, 100%. It's something I think I could do, but I, not for me. But yes, everybody seems to love them who uses them. It's like you're either into it or you're not. Yeah. It seems like that. Well, can we talk about how long you should actually keep a tampon in for? Because I got a lot of questions about toxic shock syndrome. And I remember when I was like 14, it was literally like my biggest fear on earth that I was going to get it. Uh-huh. Is it that common?
It's really, really rare, but it's actually rising again. So the numbers of people getting TSS is rising. So one of the things with TSS is the synthetics in the tampons can create an environment in which TSS can the bacteria can actually grow. And so that's one of the reasons that with organic tampons, there's never been a recorded case of anyone getting toxic shock syndrome. It is super scary. And I think everyone thinks it's very, very much related to how long you leave your tampon in for, as opposed to kind of what synthetics or fibers are being left inside you. So, and it's on the rise again because mainstream companies are making their tampons more and more and more absorbent, which means people are using tampons like, basically, so I'm going to rewind. So if you're using a tampon and you pull it out when you're kind of, you think the time's up and it's still white, you need a lower absorbency. So people are basically saying, okay, I'm going to keep my tampon in for 10 hours overnight, maybe. I'm going to use the highest absorbency. And even then you're pulling out and you've got white fibers. And those, if they're pulling out and you've got white fibers, it means fibers are being left inside you.
Oh my God.
And that's the environment that TSS can grow in.
Oh, now I'm scared.
It's just, I mean, it's not a scare tactic. We're just saying, always use the absorbency that you actually need. Don't try and kind of say, okay, I'm going to have the maximum absorbency because I want to keep it in all day. Use the absorbency that you actually need.
That is a big takeaway for me from this. I don't have like a very heavy period and even sometimes I'll use the lightest one and I still don't.
Yeah. I mean, in that case, it might be just worth having a liner or a pad and actually not using a tampon in that situation or using an organic one.
Right. Exactly. Can you sleep in tampons?
You can. I mean, we always say you should change them between 4 and 6 hours.
Oh, is that
what you
think?
That's what we say. Obviously, mainstream companies say up to 8 hours. We always say 4 to 6.
Yeah.
So I think that is totally down on kind of personal preference.
I know people who will literally leave them in for like 2-3 days.
Wow.
Yeah, your faces. That's how I feel. And I have a friend, not naming names, because this was a horrific experience. for everyone involved. But she got a tampon lost up her vagina for like a week and a half. Didn't even realize it was in there. I don't understand how it happened, but you know, shit happens. But yeah. And she was getting all of these symptoms. She thought it was BV. She wasn't really sure. No. And yeah, it was stuck up there. I mean, she's fine.
But she had to go to GP to get it out?
No, she actually managed to do it herself.
She realize that it was up there?
Well, I think we were both just like, what's going on here? I was like, we're going to need to go to the GP. This was like all hands on deck. And I was like, are you sure? And she was like, I think I took it out. So anyway, stay woke about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I've done it. I've lost a tampon before.
Have you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this story is just a bit too much.
No, it's like, not.
It's not?
No.
Okay. I'm going to go there and try not to give too many
Please
details.
Do.
I basically, this is years ago with an ex-boyfriend, and I accidentally had like sleep sex. I don't know how many people have sleep sex.
Wait, what?
Like wake up in the middle of the night and you're having sex. Like with your boyfriend.
So he looks really confused.
So
right
wait,
now.
Wait, yeah. Wait. He's on top of you or you're on top
I was on top.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But you were not awake.
I was at some point, but when it was initiated, and I probably initiated it, it wasn't aware. I must have been sleeping. And
I know
then woke
exactly
up.
What you're talking about. Yeah? It's just like okay. Sleepy horny.
Yeah.
I know it well.
So, but when I finally woke up, I was like, shit, I'm on my period. I've got a tampon in. Like, I don't remember having sex.
You had a tampon in? Girl, what a night.
Yeah. What a night. And then he was like, well, I'm like, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's nothing. And in the morning, I'm like searching everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like down the side of the bed. What did I do? Did I go to the toilet? Like, what happened to this tampon? And yeah, it was inside me.
And you had to go to the GP?
No, I didn't. I managed to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Period sex.
Yeah.
Thoughts.
Love it.
Protocol. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it. As long, I have really heavy periods. So as long as it's like not day one, exactly. Two, as long as we're a bit further on, I'm good. I'm down. Like day one, two, I'm like, boy, don't touch me. Like I have the worst cramps and I don't want to go near you, let alone have you inside me.
I've found it quite interesting that, especially if I'm not on day one or two where I'm super, super heavy, my period, like the blood flow actually kind of stops during the actual sex. So, like, it's not that messy for me.
Okay.
Not that being messy would be a problem, but, like, it's not so scary to think about, like, it's all coming out. And then as soon as, like, finished and, like, cleaned up, then the blood starts coming out again. It's like my body's like, okay, I'll just pause for a second.
So what is the protocol? You just say to the dude, I'm on my period and let's do this thing?
Yeah.
I've only ever had a one-night stand once when I'm on my period.
Okay.
I mean, and that was very much like, yeah, I'm on my period. Your chat.
And most of the time, I mean, they're not going to say no.
Yeah.
And then experience. You just put a towel down and move on with your life. Like, I don't have period sex.
What stops you having period sex? Are you, like, just a barrier up to it?
I don't know. I'm just, like, not into the idea of, like, bleeding all over somebody's sheets. Like, although I did last weekend. Oh, God. Just admitted that. But I was horrified. I was horrified by it.
How did the guy react?
He didn't care.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, most people don't care because they're going to have experienced that at some point with someone else.
Yeah, I know. And I said to my guy friend, I was like, has a girl ever bled on your sheets? He's like, oh, yeah, all the time. I'm like, oh, okay.
Like, it's stupid. But this is a conversation. Like, it's so cool that, like, as the more we start talking about it, and the more, like, yeah, like, I bled on XYZ, I bled here and there.
Yeah.
Like, the more we start talking about it, the more it's going to be normalized, and people feel that it is okay to have period sex. And if you want to have sex and the dude's up for it, or the other girl's up for it, whoever's up for it, then, like, full steam ahead.
Yeah. Also, a lot of women are more horny when they're on their period.
Mm-hmm. This is a fact.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a shame if you can't, you know,
get it in.
Get it in.
And I wonder what it feels like for the guy, or, you know, I mean, I just, is it like natural lubrication?
Yeah, I was just thinking that's probably more like,
Well,
something to think about.
That is something to think about. Okay. We have an audio note and it's all about free bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's play it.
Hi, Essay, Nikki, and Leia. My name is Logan and I'm from Toronto. My question is about free bleeding. I don't like how wasteful tampons are and how uncomfortable pads are, so I free bleed every month. Sometimes when my friends find out I do this, they get pretty disgusted as they think it's unhygienic. What are your tips for people that prefer to free bleed, and if there are any products you recommend for those that do? Thanks.
What is free bleeding?
Okay, I'm going to put my hands up and say I've never got my head around this one, because I know that one of my old yoga instructors free bleeds, and one of our friend's girlfriends free bleeds. And he actually said recently that he couldn't come to the weekend away because she was on her period. And we were like, what? You can't come because she's on her period? Like, why can't she come? And he's like, oh, she free bleeds. And to be honest, I should have questioned that more and be like, what does this mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would have gone into full-blown research mode. Yeah. This is the first I'm hearing of this.
Uh-huh. I mean, I would honestly love to hear more. So if people do free bleed, like, I'd love to have a chat about it. Love to hear more.
What is it? You just literally just don't wear a tampon or a pad or anything?
Yeah, you don't wear anything. And I guess you just have to be okay with the fact that, you know, whatever you're wearing, is if you're around the house, is going to get blood on it. And then you just wash it. People will also, like, depending on how heavy they are, just kind of, like, lay some towels down. Mm-hmm. And just, like, if they're at home, just, like, I think it's also a process of being, like, I'm on my period now, so I'm going to actually feel that whole sort of getting the blood out and the toxins out. And by putting anything inside me to soak up the blood, it's not all coming out. Mm-hmm. So it's a way of, like, letting all the toxins come out of your body. And it's kind of like ceremonial sometimes, I think, for some people.
I see. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Is your period, is it toxins?
No. Well, it's the uterine lining shedding. But of course, like for some people, getting that blood out and making sure that there's no blood left over from that particular cycle is a way of like making sure that you're not getting leftover blood still up there, which can be not harmful, but
If you've got so this is, I mean, certain gynecologists or fertility specialists would say if you're trying for a baby, don't use tampons, because the tampons, you know, when you get like the clot sometimes, the blood clot, so the tampons don't always absorb that. So it means that sometimes if you're using a tampon, it can get reabsorbed. But I mean, it's super, super rare, and obviously kind of not necessarily dangerous, but it's what fertility specialists might recommend.
Okay.
In terms of products, though, I mean, period underwear, like the ones that you can just wear to soak up the blood, that could be an option if you don't want to use any internal products like a moon cup or
What tampons. Do you think of those underwear? I've tried them.
Yeah? Did you like them?
For myself, I don't mind it when I'm at home chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I would probably just wear a pad.
Yeah.
So for me personally, because I have such a heavy period, it's not long enough. Like I can't get through a day with one of them. I think typically they'll absorb like 1 to 2 regular tampons, and I'm like 4 super plus in a day. So
yeah,
just don't work for me. That being said, I would really like to try them for nighttime as a kind of a backup.
Like a backup product.
Or I guess also like a backup for during the day.
Yeah.
Like
if
you've got your tampon in, but you know you're going to be traveling on a train, you might not get to a toilet in time, or it might be nice like just to have that reassurance that if you did leak, you're covered.
Mm. I know some people have said to me that like wearing a tampon is kind of bad because it is like literally like stopping everything from coming out. Mm. But is that okay that it's absorbing the stuff and you're leaving it up there? I mean, I'm still going to go with this, but just out of curiosity. Is it?
I mean, we've never heard, and I think we've been obviously using tampons for ages. I think it's more dependent on what the product is that you're putting inside you.
Yeah.
And that's going to cause more harm. I mean, you've got the natural flows that are coming out anyway.
Right.
Obviously, there are certain cases where you might want to get rid of blood faster.
Mm.
I think it's also just personal preference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like how you feel around your period, and if you don't feel comfortable putting something inside you to absorb the blood, then you're going to prefer that it comes straight out, and maybe then using a pad or a period underwear is a nicer option.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I'm learning from this is that periods are so personal.
Yeah, definitely.
So personal.
Wow.
I think that's a big like ethos behind the brand, is like every single person's period is unique. So like even if you have a regular cycle, that might change up every month, and your sort of preferences around products are going to be different, and how you experience it with your pain is going to be different. So
that was a really, as you said, that was a really big thing when we launched. We wanted to offer a service that catered to everyone that bleeds. So and obviously bringing out pads, but at the moment you can choose your tampon type, you can choose your absorbency ranges, you can choose the quantity, and you can choose your delivery date as well. So 10% of women actually have a regular 28-day cycle. I mean, for me, I get it like clockwork, but it's every 5 weeks. Nick's, you're a bit more irregular.
Yeah.
And we noticed that kind of every single period was so unique and so personal, that we wanted to cater to everyone's needs.
Yeah. Well, Something that is something that's been on my mind recently is period poverty. Mm-hmm. What is something that we can do to kind of help that cause?
There's so much that we can do. So obviously, there's been a lot of talk in the UK about period poverty because of the period protests that have been going on where people haven't realized that period poverty in the UK is a problem. So young schoolgirls not going to school because they can't afford products. And we have always considered that to be such an important part of the mission around sort of destigmatizing periods, because it's talking about, you know, you might have problems with transparency in the period product industry, but we also have the problem that some girls and women are not getting access to period products at all. Mm. And that's really damaging to their lives. So we also support a charity in Zambia every month with the subscriptions coming in, and it supports a girls program that does menstrual health and sex education, because the Zambian curriculum in government schools and community schools aren't supported with that. We do workshops to teach the girls how to make their own reusable pads out of locally available materials. And then we also support the building of new toilet blocks at the schools, because obviously if you don't have a safe and clean place to change, then having the right products doesn't really matter.
Right.
So it's it's more than just donating period products in those cases.
And obviously here in the UK, they've just passed the bill to provide period products in schools, which is amazing. Super happy about that. But then there's like amazing NGOs. So Bloody Good Periods, there's the Red Box Project that both donate products as well.
Right. And what's the name of the charity that you mentioned in Zambia?
The School Club Zambia.
Okay, cool. I really wanted to talk about FemSpace on your website. Can you just tell people a little bit about what that is? I was reading some of the articles last week and they're really good.
Amazing. Yeah. We wanted a space that people can kind of present their experiences and that people can read and relate to. And so I think it kind of all stemmed from that, and stemmed from kind of maybe Googling symptoms and finding
that you get to WebMD and it tells you you've got cervical cancer when you've just looked up a couple of symptoms.
Right.
Yeah.
We just found that there was no space where we personally could find information around menstrual and sexual health and like our reproductive systems that was in a voice that was relatable, that we'd actually want to read, that was interesting, and that still gave us the right information.
Right.
Mm. And I think it's these intimate experiences that people are often scared or maybe humiliated or kind of just a bit embarrassing to talk about. We're going, hey, we're here, we're going to talk about it. Yeah. And we're going to talk about it with like just so much pride and love talking about it. And I think that maybe being so proud about it will hopefully encourages other people to go, actually, like, that isn't so scary, or that isn't so horrid, or, oh, I can relate to that. That's with me. And maybe talk and maybe kind of encourage that conversation within their own circles and help. I mean, it's all in the mission to destigmatize periods.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, so what advice would you give to any young listeners that are going through, you know, getting their period for the first time and are just kind of like, what is happening to me? Because I guess it's changed a lot since I was a youngster and got my period. And got my period. But I remember when I got my period, there were no resources where I could talk about it. Like, the internet was around, but like, I mean, I don't know if it was just me, but I didn't know where to go to learn about periods. So I think it's a bit of a different world. But say, you know, you just got your period or you're just kind of getting used to it. What would you say?
Well, firstly, I actually don't think it's a completely different world.
Okay.
I think there is still a real kind of lack of menstrual and sexual health education in schools. So we have a lot of customer service inquiries from young people who don't have access to the resources and information that they need, or maybe are embarrassed to go and ask the people around them. And we had even a question recently with a young individual that said, if I use a tampon, am I still a virgin? And it's
that was a big topic of conversation in my school.
Yeah. But I think there's still a lot of, there's so much education that's missing still.
Can a tampon break a hymen?
Interesting question. I mean, there's a lot of things that can break a hymen.
I just kind of blurted that out. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that can break a hymen, and everyone's is very, very different.
Right.
So even things like horse riding, or you might be wrestling, or kind of there's a lot of different things that can.
But I think going back, it's like separating the breaking of the hymen with losing your virginity, and
totally
like that discussion.
Yeah.
Right. It's important.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I would say to young people, that just to kind of to try and talk about it, to try and reach out to anyone you trust, any kind of women in your life that have, or individuals in your life that have been through the experience that they kind of, you know, that have bled. I mean, ultimately, every person on the planet is a result of a uterus that at some point bled. And I think that, that knowing that and kind of really understanding that is so important, that kind of 50% of the population bleed. And reaching out and saying, hey, is there anyone I can talk to? Because the likelihood is that someone that you're close to in your life has been through a kind of a similar experience.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Can we talk about our first period stories?
Yes.
You guys go first.
To be honest, mine wasn't like anything outrageous. I just remember, like, obviously I told my mom and she was like, okay, here's a pad. And it started so full on that first day that it came.
So you just went to the toilet and you were like, there's blood there.
I was like, there's like a tiny bit of like,
okay,
like brown stain. And I was like, I think that's my period, because the other girls in my class had started. So I was like kind of prepared that it could be coming. And I went and told my mom and she gave me a pad. And then she gave me a few because we were going to a family friend's house for like a big barbecue.
How did you feel telling your mom?
I felt like quite normal, a little bit excited.
Did you?
Like, oh, excited. Something's happening here. Yeah. Like, you know, it wasn't a scary thing.
Yeah.
I only remember being scared because she'd give me quite a big pad. And I remember going to the bathroom to change like halfway through this like big barbecue. And like my mom wasn't around at that exact moment. And I went in to change and literally the pad was full. And it was like dark red blood. And I was like, whoa. Like you kind of just feel like, okay, that came out of me.
I remember that feeling. Yeah.
But aside from, like, that was nothing like that outrageous happened, but I just remember being really wowed by the amount of blood.
I was mortified at my first period. I have an older sister, and so she'd started beforehand, but we'd never had the conversation. Like, I didn't know. Every time, kind of, I mean, it was always like Cass is having a personal time, or she's got a special moment or something. Like, there was never this conversation. And then kind of learning about it at school. But I don't think I had any friends that were talking about periods.
Yeah.
And then I think initially maybe kind of looked at my knickers and are like, it's kind of a bit brown. Like, did I just pee myself?
Like, out of my vagina?
Yeah. Like, what just happened? And then maybe a bit later, maybe the next day, I'm not sure, I can't remember. But eventually went to my mum and said, I think I might have started my period. At which point my dad was out. Mum rings dad and says, Leah started her period. Can you get some pads?
Horrific.
Dad walks in, gives me a big hug and is like, congratulations. And I'm like, oh my God, ground, swallow me up.
How old were you guys?
I was 12.
12?
I think I was 13 or 14. No, 13.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was 13, kind of like late into my 13. And all my friends already had it. I remember feeling like if I don't get my period, I thought I was never going to get my period. Yeah. I was like, if I don't get this, I started to feel weird about it. Like, if I don't get it, I'm just like some sort of weirdo. That's how I felt.
We've often spoken about like what changes between that moment when your friends are coming on their periods and everyone wants to be on because like it's that kind of like you join the club versus a few years later when suddenly everyone's too embarrassed to talk about it.
Yeah.
And like if you get your period at school, it's like, oh, you know, it's all a bit like shameful and
hush hush.
And, yeah, hush hush. So what changes from that moment of being quite excited about it to feeling really ashamed of it?
I don't know. But I remember when I got mine, I was living with my dad and my stepmom at the time and I woke up, same sort of situation, except I had already like it was like there was a lot of blood.
Oh wow.
And I remember that feeling of being like that came out of me. Like, wow, I knew what a period was, but like it's different when it happens to you. I remember I told my stepmom and of course she tells my dad and my dad comes, oh, just such an embarrassing chat. Talk about ground swallow me up. Yeah. It was like one of those moments. And I actually didn't go to school that day. I didn't want to go to school because I was so like worked up about the whole thing.
Like excited?
No, any excitement? I was like weirdly upset about it. But it's weird because I wanted it so bad. But it just made me feel strange. It wasn't until like a couple months, the next month when I was like, oh, this is going to keep happening.
Yeah. Gotta get used to this.
Exactly. Yeah. So what's next for On? What do you see? I know you're doing the pads. But
yeah, pads. We've got a few more products coming out as well, which I can't talk too much about at this stage. But we've got basically we're trying to cater to everyone's period and every person that bleeds. So we've got a couple more products coming out as well as pads, which is exciting.
Just keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on. We've got some cool events happening in the summer, I think.
Okay.
And we're growing our ambassador program at the moment. So we've got, we had a group But if there's so many supportive people, like really, really supportive people, customers and people that don't have periods for whatever reason that kind of are coming to us and saying, I love what you're doing, can I be involved? So we've just taken on kind of, I think, 17 individuals to kind of spread the word. And it's all about talking about periods, really.
Right.
So we've kind of expanding that.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And lots of kind of, yeah, bringing lots of people on, expanding the team and expanding the community. And I think for us, that's the big thing. Kind of, we're all in this together. And yeah.
Awesome. Well, I absolutely loved talking to you both. I love talking to female founders of any type of company, but this is just such a cool company. I love what you're doing. Oh, and I learned a lot, actually.
It was a great conversation.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. And if people want to find you, where can they do that?
Our website is www.on.co.
That's O-H-N-E.
Say it again.
www.ohne.co. Okay. It's a German word. It means without. So you pronounce ohne. Oh. But yeah, it means without. So without all the toxins and the nasties.
Oh my gosh.
And then playing kind of on the phrase, I'm on.
Yeah. But it's pronounced on.
But yes. It's pronounced on. Even okay. Despite, yeah.
The German pronunciation. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Very, very cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.